Come out. Show yourself. They won't harm you. I have the captain's word.
He grunted. The captain's word. He's under orders to kill us both, Harbin replied silently to the old woman.
Dorn, come out. It will be all right, I promise you.
She treats me as if I'm a child, her little boy. Harbin thought back to his own mother, raped and crucified by the soldiers sent to cleanse his village. They'll kill us both, he thought. They'll kill you, Elverda. They've got to. Unless I can prevent it, he told himself. That was a new thought. Can I prevent them from killing her? Can I save her life? Could saving her one life possibly balance the scales for all the lives I've snuffed out? Could she be the path to my atonement? My final peace? Dorn, she called again.
I'm here, he called back. I'm coming out.
Confrontations. Coop was leading a squad of four crew members, two of them women, down the passageway that led to the power generator bay. The ship's surveillance camera showed Harbin huddled behind the generator itself, sitting on the deck plates with his knees pulled up in front of his face. He was unarmed, but Coop had seen what the freak could do with his bare hands. Elverda Apicheta had insisted on coming with them. Now she stood beside Coop, calling out to Harbin. She called him Dorn. He stopped his little team at the hatch that led into the generator bay. It was open.
Okay, he told them. We wait here until the captain signals.
Yuan was leading the rest of the crew members who were able to walk, a total of five men and women, around the long way through the ship's wheel to come up behind the generator bay. His plan was to trap Harbin between the two squads.
I'll go in and talk to him, Elverda said.
Coop shook his beefy head.
Orders are to wait here.
I don't want you in the line of fire when the shooting starts.
I can make him come out without shooting, she insisted.
No, said Coop. You stay here with us. She tried to stare him down, but Coop grasped her bony wrist in his massive paw and said gently,
I don't want you to get hurt. Stay here, please.
Elverda almost smiled. Instead, she turned and shouted through the open door, Dorn,
come out. Show yourself. They won't harm you. I have the captain's word.
No response.
I can't blame him, Elverda said to herself. He knows they want to kill him. Kill us both.
Coop checked the charge on his laser pistol. He had seen the carnage Harbin had unleashed on the bridge, watched the security camera's playback of the mayhem. Gonzalez hit him square in the chest with a laser shot, and all it did was burn a hole in his shirt.
If we have to shoot, he muttered to his crew, go for his face or his human arm. The metal half of him splashes laser beams like a stream of water.
You'll kill him, Elverda hissed.
If I have to, said Coop,
as the others checked their pistols. He wished he had a more powerful weapon, a high-velocity rifle maybe, or an armor-piercing missile. Elverda cupped her hands to her mouth and called again,
Dorn!
From somewhere in the generator bay, he called back,
I'm here. I'm coming out.
Coop's team stiffened and gripped their guns tighter.
Yuan had led his team halfway around Viking's wheel-shaped main body and then down the connecting tunnel that opened on the far side of the generator bay. He wished he had more crew members and heavier weapons, but these five officers and crew were all that were left unhurt. They all looked nervous, frightened, as they hefted their pistols in trembling hands. Tamara Vyshinsky had stayed on the bridge at Yuan's orders. Ostensibly, she had the ship's con. In reality, Yuan didn't want her anywhere near the renegade. I don't want him to see you, Yuan had told her. It might set him off again. She hadn't argued the point. In fact, she looked relieved. The three other members of the crew were in the infirmary, two with broken noses, the third heavily sedated, his jaw shattered. Now Yuan raised his free hand to bring his little team to a halt. The hatch that opened onto the generator bay stood before them. It was shut. Holstering his pistol, Yuan pulled out his palm count. Its tiny screen showed the surveillance camera's view of the bay from up in the overhead. He could see Harbin crouched behind the generator, his back to the hatch that was no more than 5 meters from Yuan and his squad. He was pulling a cover plate off the generator, using one finger of his prosthetic hand as a screwdriver. Thumbing the palm comp's keyboard, Yuan called in a low voice, "Coop." A moment's delay, then the first mate's face filled the screen. "Sir, we're in position, ready to go in."
"He says he's willing to come out, Captain."
"He'll surrender?"
"He wants us to guarantee we won't hurt Ms. Apacheta."
Yuan grunted like a man who's just received news that could be both good and bad. "I'll have to talk to him," he said.
Doric Harbin, Dorn, realized that there must be surveillance cameras throughout the ship. Peering up into the shadows of the overhead support beams, he spotted the unwinking red eye of a camera. "They can see me," he said to himself. He got slowly to his feet and raised his hands above his head. "I'll come out," he said to the open hatch in front of him. He could see Elverda standing there in her threadbare robe, and several members of the crew, all of them armed with pistols. "I'll come out," he repeated, "under one condition. You must promise that you won't hurt my companion." The big, burly Hawaiian stepped in front of Elverda. "That's a decision that only the captain can make," he said. "Then I'll stay here until the captain decides." It took several minutes and a flurry of chatter into handheld communicators. At last, Coop told him, "The captain's in the passageway behind you. He's going to open the hatch so he can talk to you." "I understand," said Dorn. "Nobody's going to come any closer than these hatches," Coop assured him. "I understand," Dorn repeated, knowing that with laser pistols they could shoot him quite easily from the open hatches. The laser beams weren't powerful enough to do more than singe his metal skin, but they would, of course, aim for his flesh. The hatch behind him started to creak open, slowly. Dorn turned to face it. "I'm willing to surrender to you, Captain, if you'll guarantee that no harm will come to Ms. Apacheta." Yuan frowned at Harbin. "You're in no position to make demands." "True enough, but that's what I want. Otherwise, you'll have to come in here and get me." "We're prepared to do that," Yuan said. Harbin lifted the plate he had removed from the generator and held it before him like a shield. "Are you prepared for the casualties you'll take?" "Dorn," Elverda shouted, "stop this nonsense, now." He turned and looked at her with the human side of his face. She pulled loose from Coop's restraining hand and stepped through the hatch toward him. Harbin dropped his shield. It clattered to the deck. "No more fighting," Elverda said, her tone softer. "No more fighting," he agreed.
They marched the two of them to the galley, where Yuan offered them a meal. Elverda made herself a cup of tea. Harbin sat in brooding silence at the end of the table that ran the length of the narrow compartment. "You know I'm under orders to execute you both," Yuan said, almost casually, as he poured a mug of tea for himself. "I understand," said Harbin, "that Humphreys wants us dead. I don't have any choice in the matter." Yuan sat himself at the head of the table. "None of us really do," Harbin said. Elverda clutched her mug in both hands, soaking up its warmth. "Could you at least wait until our mission is finished?" she asked. Yuan turned toward her. "You mean picking up dead bodies? That could take years." "Yes, but..." Tamara Vyshinsky stepped into the galley. Harbin tensed at the sight of her, and she froze where she stood. "There won't be any more interrogations," Yuan said hastily. "You can relax, both of you." Tamara went to the urn and took a mug. "For what it's worth," she said, without looking at Harbin, "I'm sorry I pumped you. I didn't know what your reaction would be. I'm sorry.